This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, I'm Christina Wallace.
And I'm Kate Scott Campbell.
And you're listening to The Limit Does Not Exist,
a podcast for human Venn diagrams.
Coming at you every single Monday.
And hosted by us. Welcome to a very special episode of The Limit Does Not Exist.
That's right. It's a highlights episode.
We're bringing you some of our favorite illuminating highlights from our archives because they're just too good to not hear again.
And there's a method to our madness. In this episode, we're celebrating theater kids of all ages and rediscovering how skills developed on or around the stage can translate into fascinating career moves of all kinds.
That's right. You'll hear from Dan Macarone of tech firm Charming Robot, representing sketch comedy and Quick Changes. Lauren Gunderson, the most produced playwright in America this year.
Yes. Plus educator, designer, and musician Brian Cooperwriter talking about the value of improv comedy. And Janet Martinez brings it home for the technical theater kids and, you know, all around scrappiness.
So without further ado, lights up. Hey, Christina.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I am great. It's always great to be talking to a fellow theater major.
You're just going straight in for the setup, aren't you?
Okay. I'm going straight in because as a former theater kid, I can understand a clear exposition.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm on a roll.
So you are correct. We are both former theater majors. And that, in fact, is the theme of today's show, where we have pulled together some of our favorite highlights from former theater kids or, yes, you know, still ongoing theater adults, because we've had a number of them and, you know, ranging from playwriting to technical theater to improv to sketch comedy. They all have just leveraged their theater skills in really exciting ways and career paths. And we thought, let's pull this together and make a human Venn diagram highlight episode.
Absolutely. And theater kids have been making headlines, particularly as of late, haven't they, Christina?
They have. So the really quite devastating shooting at Parkland at the high school in Florida on Valentine's Day was obviously really traumatic and it's just I have no words, right? So
yeah.
It's, I think all of us feel all of the frustration that comes, you know, 19 years on from Columbine, that we're still seeing this. And in fact, we're seeing this more often, more traumatically each time. But one of the rays of light to come out of this has been seeing the teens that are leading the conversation around sensible gun control and around gun safety. And one of the just delightful tidbits, unexpected, in a BuzzFeed profile on the teens that I just beamed on the subway when I read this, was that the group, the core organizers of this group, mostly know each other from the school's theater program.
Mm-hmm.
And the New Yorker also did a story on the teens and mentioned that one of them, Cameron Caskey, is a theater kid. That before he went on Anderson Cooper, he was best known as the class clown, who's always talking and, you know, has a problem that he never shuts up. I was just delighted to see this. And I tweeted this article out and kind of mentioned that, you know, it was so inspiring to see that, you know, these teens, they know how to organize. They can speak in public. They are collaborative. They can craft a narrative. It's almost like theater is a valuable part of education. And that tweet seemed to hit a nerve. And a lot of people have responded to that. So very similarly to what you and I and our guests have known and have demonstrated through our lives and careers, it's just been a ray of sunshine to see that skill set put to use in these amazing teenagers. And I'm going to stop crying over here now.
Well, yes, absolutely. Consider this episode our homage to, our gratitude letter to those teens, to any teenager or adult who dares to pursue a creative field, to have a theater major or any other kind of liberal arts major. And if you are one of those and are new to our show and are still questioning whether or not those skills are translatable, this episode is our gift to you as well. So we are so excited to share some key insights into how a theater major really is something of value, and thinking more broadly, of course, how any creative pursuit can really make an impact on the world. So Christina, shall we jump in?
I think we should. First up, we have Dan Macaron, also a theater major, and now the founder and CEO of Charming Robot, which is a digital product shop helping to bring unique and challenging interactive concepts to life. What's fun about Dan is that he has formal theater training as well as sketch comedy, and we talked to him about how he translates those experiences into user experience design in tech. He also has a great story about a quick change in a car. Fun fact also, Dan and I co-wrote an article about all of the reasons why a theater major was the best preparation for entrepreneurship. So we'll make sure to link to that in the show notes.
So let's hear some of our conversation with Dan.
And then I think number five, which I would guess is probably going to resonate with Dan and his work in user design and user interaction, around understanding the human condition and, you know, being able to put yourself in the perspective of the character. I remember very clearly coming into a directing class my junior year and being very dismissive of a couple of the characters in the one act I'd been assigned to direct. And I was like, oh, they're awful. I was super judgy. And the professor stopped the conversation very abruptly. And he's like, if you can't find their motivation for being that way, if you can't identify with and love them and, you know, empathize with them as a character, you can't direct this. You can't, you know, play those parts, whatever that is. If you're judging from the outside and you don't understand the characters, you've already lost the game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an incredibly useful moment to realize, you know, all of those times we were like, oh, it's so obvious. Oh, that was such a stupid decision. It's so clear that they should have done that other thing. That's the exact opposite of putting yourself into those people's shoes. Be like, wait, is there something I'm missing? Is there something they're making the choices? And, you know, Dan, I'm sure you see this with user research all the time where you're like, well, they should be clicking that button. You're like, but they're not.
Yeah, right? You're totally right, Christina. I gravitated towards number five almost immediately, both as an actor, a director, and a UX designer. I think about, like, it's weird. As a director, I directed or co-directed a show in college called Tales of the Lost Formicans, which is about aliens observing human behavior. And one of the things that we had to figure out was, what do the aliens think? Like, what are they coming up with? And I mean, and that show is, it's a wonderful show. It's very, very heartfelt, but it really taps into the idea of empathy, right? Like, how do you relate to a species that you've never heard of, or in UX design, you know, it might be a person you're not. And we're often, I think I say this a lot when I give talks, you know, we're never designing for ourselves. We're never creating for the most part. I mean, every now and then we're creating things for ourselves, but for the most part, we're not making something for someone that's just us. And so to really try to put your head in someone else's shoes, much like you do as an actor, right? Or a director, is hugely important. And so that really resonated with me. But the other one that really got me, in addition to the ones you mentioned, Christina, was number four, actually dealing with very different
Yes. communities. That's one that I starred, yes.
Right? Like, the thing about theater to me, and I've been thinking about this honestly since like 1999 or 2000 when I started really working with a variety of people on the internet. And what struck me is that one of the things we do when we create any digital product, and this is probably true offline as well, and definitely true in theater, is the importance of collaboration and different perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had these debates with lighting designers and makeup designers and costume designers and fellow actors and directors about what are the right choices to make here. And you need those perspectives and those different personalities, and you need to respect them to be really successful in creating a wonderful, you know, stage show or a great product. And I think that that's, if anything, that thing that resonates with me even more. I think the condition thing is personal to me, of course, but like the collaboration aspect and those different perspectives to me is just something that if you can't embrace that, then you're not going to succeed in many, many things.
Well, it's so true. I remember that an actor said to me one time, theater is a social art form, which is so true, right? You know, I mean, not only when you work on a show, there's actors, designers, the director, or multiple directors, stage managers, the playwright is often there. I remember when I was in my grad acting program, and I remember that there were all of these things that came up culturally in terms of just, you know, collaboration and relationships with other people. And a friend of mine said to me, you know, Kate, those things that you think are static to that are sort of getting the way of the learning actually are the learning. Because, of course, as you were saying, Dan, you know, so much of business and what we do is collaborative. And when you're really learning how to do that, it's really powerful. Another one that really resonated with me was working within a limited budget. You know, I look back at student theater and think we were all learning how to be producers. We were nailing stuff into the floorboards and handing out flyers, those early PR lessons, right? And when things go awry, how do you deal with it, you know? It's certainly something that I deal with all the time. And I know you guys do too.
Every startup ever does. Yeah.
Every startup does, right? Yeah. What do you do? And how do you, of course, wear a lot of different hats when you're scrappy and young, scrappy and hungry?
That also feeds into doing whatever needs to be done, which was absolutely drilled into my brain, especially at my school, which was the liberal arts program. It wasn't a BFA. You couldn't just be an actor or just be a director. Yeah. You had to be a theater studies major. You had to study all the pieces, and you had to do practicums in multiple areas. So, you know, you had to learn to do lighting design and sound engineering and producing and all of the things. And I think that's what drew me to it as a, you know, human Venn diagram budding, that like, oh, I can mix it up and do a little bit of everything. But what makes it so applicable to startups, and I think one of the things that Dan and I have talked about, is that notion at the very beginning, there's no such moment where you say, well, that's not my job. I'm sorry. I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I would say it actually also, I wouldn't have thought this 20 years ago, you know, when I was programming and designing and doing every aspect of it. But now I think it makes me better at my job because I understand You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I've worn that hat. I've worn that other hat. And this is, by the way, this is true in everything. I think about this. I've owned a couple of bars in New York. And The first bar I owned, you know, I worked in the kitchen and I cooked every dish and I made sure I knew how that worked. I worked behind the bar. I cleaned the bathroom, even in times when I really didn't want to. managed finances. And like all those different hats really make you respect the people who are doing them full time. And also, by the way, it makes them respect you. They know that you understand where they're coming from. And I feel like I'm a terrible, like, actual visual designer. So like, I shouldn't be allowed to open Sketch or Photoshop and make some, but I worked as a designer for a little while when I was younger. And as a developer, and I also am not a developer, but I've done that work and I see, you know, where those challenges are. And I understand when developers push back on me or when designers do, because I've been in their shoes. And I think that you kind of get this twofold experience. One being that you're all in it together and you're doing, like Christina, doing like whatever needs to be done. But also as you grow in your career, you actually get to know, like, and empathy. Again, for me, it comes down to empathy in so many ways, but like you get to empathize and understand the people you're working with.
Well, it's so true. I think exactly what you're saying about you're respected and you're also understanding if you're going to collaborate in any way, you know, being able to jump in here, jump in there. It's so important. That doing whatever needs to be done made me think of another very micro application. And that was this weekend when I flew up to San Francisco, I had my dog with me and it was just crazy. I brought her on the plane. I had to change clothes and then get on BART and like do a million stops. I think I took two Ubers, so many BART stops. And I did a quick change in the airport bathroom, like with my dog, with all my luggage, throwing on my makeup, putting on the dress that I had like carried in a certain way so it wouldn't wrinkle. And I thought to myself, being a theater major taught me how to be Clark Kent. Like it is the lessons that you get from things cannot be too small or understated. You know, even if it's something like a quick change that gets you where you need to be on a day when you're packed and, you know, coming from work, going to something else, doing a million things as we all do.
This is why we're friends, because I literally did that same quick change, except I did it on the West 4th Street subway platform last week. I was
tell me your technique.
My friend Jessica Bennett's book party for Feminist Fight Club, and was running late and it was pouring rain, and they were doing a photo shoot and they wanted all of her like girl, you know, lady boss friends to be there for this. And so I had to not only change shirts, I had to change bras. So I had to go from a regular bra to a racer back underneath a t-shirt, and then it pulled that off, did a little shimmy there, and then switched to a leather zip-up peplum shell that I was able to put on under my shirt and then take the shirt off and then zip the thing up. It was one of my finer quick change moments. I thought of you and I thought you would appreciate that.
My gosh. I truly did. Particularly knowing that across on the other coast, I was dealing with Spanx and a stick-on bra at the same time is very comforting, Christina. Whenever I go through that thing, Christina Wallace is doing a quick change.
So weird, guys. I totally relate to that. Actually, to be fair, I mean, can I share my quick change story as well?
Yes, please. I was hoping you would, Dan.
about like a year and a half ago, I was at work and we were like celebrating the birthday of one of our team members, and we were going out for drinks at a bar on Lower East Side. And around the time we're going to drinks, and I'm wearing like jeans, you know, and a t-shirt and maybe a buttoned up. I'm not looking like super fancy. And I got a text from a VC friend of mine, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to go to this banquet tonight?" And I was like, "Sure, that sounds fun." So I go to this thing and we're having drinks, and he didn't really give me any details around it. So as I'm getting ready to go to this banquet in Midtown, he texts me, he goes, "Oh, BT Dubs, it's black tie."
No.
I'm like, fuck. I'm like, okay.
Oh my God, BT Dubs black tie to you. That is so inappropriate.
So I Ubered to my house and I was like, "Hey, I need you to wait out here for a second." And I rushed upstairs and I grabbed my tuxedo, because naturally, and got an Uber. And I quick change in the Uber. So I walk into the, I get into the Uber feeling like looking like not even Clark Kent, like just like a low grade Mark Zuckerberg, you know, and walk out looking like $1 million bucks, literally went into one door and out the other door.
Did you say anything to your Uber driver as you were changing your pants in the back of the car? That's what I really want to know. But like, what was the dynamic?
I kind of was like, look, man, this is happening right now and you're going to have to deal with it.
Just straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking my pants off. I'm taking my shirt off. You can look if you want.
If you want to hear more of our conversation with Dan, take a listen to episode 13, Charmed by a Robot. Before we jump in with our next guest, Lauren Gunderson, we want to give a shout out to one of our fantastic sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Next up, let's hear from Lauren Gunderson, who is the most produced playwright in America this year. Lauren has written many plays about science, including Ada and the Memory Engine, Leap, and The Amazing Adventures of Dr. Wonderful and Her Dog, which is now a fantastic children's book. In addition to having a great conversation with Lauren on the show, we recently discussed an article that she wrote called The Oldest Tech Theater Might Be an Antidote to the Newest, which we discussed in episode 75, Sounds of the Holidays, in case you'd like to listen in on that. As someone who writes plays about math and science, Lauren has a really interesting lens about her theater background. One of the things that we loved is that she talks about the architecture of storytelling. So let's listen in. I really think about storytelling as less formulaic and more architectural. You can still get the leaps of creativity and surprise and aesthetic boldness that good art requires, but you also need to make sure that, like a good architect, there's a bathroom in your house that you're building. there's stairs to the second floor and there's an exit. So there's practical things that make the house livable and the story relatable. And there is a kind of journey to good stories. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to tell a story, but the thing that good storytelling has that can make it long lasting and epic and mythic and something that people come to over and over and over again, there is formula to it, but in the way that math has formula to it. It doesn't make it simpler or less useful or predictable. It makes it satisfying and useful to us as biological human kind of way. So when I talk about storytelling and teach it, I talk about it in kind of engineering terms. Mm. And the idea that really what makes a good story is a complex journey to, not a complicated or confusing journey, but a complex journey towards some new coherence. And that means you have to learn something and you have to try a lot of things and fail at most of them. And you being the protagonist of said story. But at the end, there's that cathartic feeling or that feeling that we've been through something and we've learned something. That's that satisfaction at the end of a story. That can be a comedy or tragedy or political, you know, satire or anything. But most good stories have that, whether it's relief or revelation or something that happens at their apex that really presents the solution to the question posed by the story. And solution isn't necessarily an answer for all time, but a solution to that hero's journey, a resolution.
It feels like that idea of building and engineering feels really tangible and therefore doable in a way with all of the sort of unknowns of the creative process, or it can sometimes feel that way. I love that metaphor.
Yeah. And you know, a play is in some ways like a blueprint. I mean, it doesn't just live on the paper. It's built to be lived and walking and talking and feeling and in front of you in actors and in the genius of great set designers and lighting designers and things.
Well, so let's talk more about your science plays. Your website has this great science rock section, and in it you say, I find deep and thrilling drama in the course of scientific progress, and I put it on stage as much as possible. Hallelujah. Supportive snaps. When did you first make the connection between science and plays? When did you know that you wanted to write plays about science? Did you always have a passion for science? Is it something that you cultivated over time?
I started in high school. So my mom was a cardiologist. And so there was medical science in the house a lot. And watching her, you know, just save people's lives on a daily basis was rather inspiring, even though I faint at the sight of blood.
Oh, wow. That's good to know.
In high school, as a junior in high school, I had this amazing physics teacher named Mr. Wintersheet, Joe Wintersheet. And he had this just great levity and joy and strangeness about teaching physics, which can be, as we know from, you know, nightmare physics teachers that are just boring and don't relate it to anything useful, and it's just a lot of equations that you have to memorize. But he made it fun and applicable to our life, and and crazy, and also talked about the people behind these ideas. And that, to me, for a budding dramatist, I just had this, my own eureka moment of, oh my God, they're characters. And what, wow. what more fundamental thing to put on stage than these kinds of great moments of change? Because that's what science is. It's a collection of change-making ideas over and over again. People have a better idea, a bigger idea, a strange, wild, unexpected idea. And as I've said before, you know, theater and storytelling is about what changes. And so they fit so beautifully together to me. Hmm. And those great eureka moments are incredibly dramatic. Almost, I mean, certainly in every one of my science plays, there is a eureka moment. And it's just the most breathless part of the play. It just grips people. And there's an acceleration to it. And there's a leaning in. And there's a momentum to the moment that you just, you can't look away from. So that's just magic in storytelling, right? So I kind of continue to go back to those stories of great innovation or discovery over and over again.
So there are two things about Lauren that I really want our listeners to know. Number one, she, I counted, I went on your website, I looked at all of your plays, and I counted how many plays have at least as many or more female characters than male characters. And out of the 19 plays listed, I believe it was something like 14 have at least as many women characters, and a few have more, which, as any actress, director, producer, or anyone who actually goes to a fair amount of theater will tell you, is kind of revolutionary. Mm-hmm. If we're checking for the Bechdel test here, I think most of Lauren's plays count. But the other kind of unheard of thing that you need to know about Lauren is that she is, and I'm not making this up, this is a true fact, the most produced living playwright in America this year, which is ridiculous. She was on the top 20 list last year as well, but
I'm
she's
snapping.
I know she's the number two most produced playwright in America, but she's the most produced living playwright, and she's a woman, as you have noticed, and she's she's young at that. I mean, we're contemporaries, so I'm calling myself young here,
you
so
are,
we're going to
we
go
are.
With that.
Absolutely.
So this is kind of insane in kind of a frustrating way, maybe, that this isn't more common, but talk to us about what it is about the plays that you write and the way that you work with theaters, you work with directors. I mean, this is also very impressive given that you haven't had a giant Broadway debut yet. You've been produced off Broadway in New York, but on the whole, you haven't really been yet embraced by the New York theater world yet. I say yet.
You it's live coming. In San Francisco. The Bay Area, which I think we should point out.
And you've really pulled this off with your relationships and the productions that regional theaters of America have put up. So talk to us a little bit about what it's like to be, you know, not just a playwright who makes her living as a playwright, but doing so in a way that you're really resonating with audiences and you're doing it without the tent poles of Broadway holding you up.
Yeah, I don't know. I love writing. I actually love the process of writing as much as I like having written, which wow. as most writers out there will know that there's a big difference.
Yes.
I think that leads to, I'm comfortable with all phases of the process of a new play. And then once it's published and has had a few productions, it's kind of out of my hands. And I just love hearing about the productions as they pop up around the country. But it's those fundamental relationships that I have built, a network of trusted directors and producers and actors to develop these stories and really help me answer the question, what is the urgent story for right now? And aligning that with the things that I personally, as Lauren, feel are urgent things to put out in the world as conversation starters, which is what a good play is. I write fast. I don't know. Some of it's just like my own personal weird mechanics of writing a lot and writing quickly. And I do think it is incredibly important, once it occurred to me how few plays actually have a lot of women in them and how fewer of them are only women, that why the hell would I not be the writer to write those, to make them not just political plays either, just making romances and funny plays. I think a lot of my work is
this may sound like I'm high-fiving myself, but they're pretty damn funny. And
this is true.
I think that is one of the recipes for having a play that people are thirsty for. They're thirsty for smart, funny plays, and in my case, very feminist plays. And so I think all of that goes to, I don't know, making them fit inside the weird calculus that artistic directors use to build the season. There's always like a, well, I guess we could use a funny lady play. I'm happy to fit that.
On occasion, you're still filling the girl slot, is what you're saying.
Totally. But what happens is when you start a relationship and you have a successful run with the company, they ask, well, what else have you done? And I get to pitch my great crazy history weird plays, or you know, the big ones, the small contemporary heartfelt plays, like the one that you saw, I and You, which mm-hmm. is not a big science history play at all. I'm not a writer that has a voice that can be easily categorized, as in I just have a lot of types of stories that I like to write. So I'll have my big family Southern contemporary drama, and then I'll have my little hilarious political farce, and then a history play about Shakespeare, and then history play about Newton. And then, you know, there's just a lot of ways to use this wild medium. And I'm kind of not satisfied unless I found, well, what is my version of insert genre of play?
You can hear our full conversation with Lauren in episode 17, The Science of Drama.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults.
you know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Next up is Brian Cooperrider. He's an educator, designer, and musician in Arizona, where he's currently the director of design for practice at Northern Arizona University. He's also an improv comedy veteran. We talked to Brian about how he uses the principles of improvisation in teaching, engineering, and design. Let's take a listen.
I'm so fascinated because, you know, as you said, you've been doing improv for over 20 years. You're considered, I think we can say, one of the founding fathers of the Flagstaff improv community, which is incredible. I'm so curious to hear about the similarities between improvising and your work as an engineer and a product designer. Do you find that there's some big similarities there? Are there some big differences that interest you and that you find challenging? Do you feel like you have to approach improv in a very different way, or is it similar?
Well, let me just say, as a teacher, I use improv every single day when I stand up in front of my students. But
yeah,
you know, it's a fascinating question. I took improv as an undergrad and have been performing pretty much since then. I see it more as a way of life. It has very much influenced the way I live my life, the way I look at everything, the way I approach interactions with people and opportunities. And I don't know whether it has shaped me or I was drawn to it because of the way because of the way improv is. Similarities between engineering, I would say that you can approach engineering with an improv mindset, and certainly in design. Fascinating enough, when I was in graduate school, that's when I actually joined the Stanford Improvisers. It didn't exist when I took the improv class as an undergrad. And here's my other claim to fame. I like to say I'm the oldest Stanford improviser, not the original member, but I'm actually physically older than all of them.
That's awesome.
But at the time, there were some academics that were kind of tying design and engineering with improv. And now I think it's very common for people in Silicon Valley to bring improv into their workplace, to take it into some of their product design they're doing. And that wasn't happening so much 25 years ago, but it's very common now because it brings that open-minded, that mindset that allows you to see a lot of opportunities and alternatives. And I think that's why it's become popular anyways.
Well, one of the things that I love about improv, I think a lot of people know the yes and rule of improv. That's become pretty famous. But one of the things that I really loved about it was the focus on being present in what is happening right now and actually listening and responding not to what you think they're about to say or what you wish they would have said or how you would map out the scene if you were in charge, but actually taking the signals of what is happening right now and living in the moment and responding just to that and only, you know, being truthful in that response. And I think that notion of being present, truly listening and responding to what's really in front of you, not some fabrication or some projection of what you want to be in front of you, I think that's so valuable in any context and probably a missed opportunity for most people who are, you know, living out their version of what the conversation they think they're having is, or building the product that they think they want to build, even if customers are giving feedback that this is not what I actually want.
Right. Have you read the book Flow or familiar with that?
No,
I'm familiar with it, but I've not read it. Tell us more.
Well, so I think this is a little bit the idea is that when people are in flow, and I may be explaining this a little bit off, but that's when they're very present and time seems to pass
very quickly. People have no sense of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of I think of that old movie with I've forgotten the old movie where the guy's playing basketball and he says, "Hey man, I'm in the zone." It's a little bit like that. You're in the zone and you're so present that nothing else really matters. And I think the flip side of that is I find I played Ultimate Frisbee for years and I connect that with improv. Mm-hmm. Is that when I'm very present, I actually kind of often forget what happened on stage.
Yes.
When I was playing Ultimate Frisbee and just running down the field and enjoying the moment and present, when I would come off the field, I couldn't remember what had happened anymore because you lose everything else and you're just in that moment of present. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fantastic feeling.
It's so, so true. There's really nothing like it, you know, that you're not watching yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think too, to add on to what we're talking about, something I love about improv is that it is that idea of making a positive choice, right? Like it's kind of, you see what happens when you're in a scene, when you kind of just make a negative choice, you say no to what the person is offering you instead of finding a way to endow them with things, give them gifts, right? You see what happens to the scene is that it just kind of dies, right?
It deflates.
Yeah, it deflates. And it's such a great model too for teams, right? And collaboration. Mm-hmm. And what can I give you to help to help you build this with me? You know,
which is why I think, you know, Silicon Valley has really taken to this training of improv. I see a lot of teams doing it, a lot of leadership training where they bring that in there. We certainly have used it in ideation teams when we're coming up with cool ideas at Bionic. We'll start with some improv exercises to bond the group and to really focus on this is a place of adding on and affirming things and building upon them instead of negating them and judging them. And it really kind of sets the tone for how a team can work together.
If you want to hear more of our conversation with Brian, check out episode 38, Improvising by Design.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Last but certainly not least, we're going to hear from Janet Martinez, who's the CEO of Lumia, a fashion tech company that turns fabric into circuit boards using proprietary conductive ink, literal wearables that are woven into fabric. Janet talked with us about how she took technical theater experience in sound and lighting design, paired it with her natural scrappiness, and turned it into opportunities in music engineering and a project that involved medical mannequins. Yes, you heard that right. Let's take a listen to our conversation.
Let's talk about that technical theater background. I am a big fan of everything that you said about technical theater. I think that the old school magic tricks that are used in quick changes and set transitions are just also just completely applicable to so many cool futuristic things as well. So you grew up in Queens and you attended the LaGuardia High School of the Arts, which is the famous school that Fame is based on, we need to mention, because Fame.
That's awesome. You know.
So at LaGuardia, you studied lighting, sound, scenic design, and construction. Then you went to Emerson College to major in technical theater. So what kind of career did you think you would pursue at that point? Like when you were in college studying technical theater, did you think that you would go on to a theater degree, and what happened?
You know, that's like the compelling question. I was studying the program there is the BFA design technology program with a lighting concentration. And personally, lighting is such an amazing field, the psychological impacts. It's also highly technical, of course. And while I was at Emerson, you know, I dabbled in directing, dabbled in a wide variety of other things in that arena. And I kind of found myself saying, well, I love all this stuff. It's really hard to think I have to pick one and just do that. There's so
we are familiar with that feeling.
You know, it's like, well, I could continue on this road and, you know, hustle really hard and aim to be a lighting designer, but there's so many things that I want to do. And that was always the question in my mind, how far down a road do I want to go, or do I want to pave a new one and take what I've learned? And, you know, life had it that I decided to pivot and take a new one. And in some ways, life created those circumstances for me, but I don't think at any point I really felt in my heart that I would do one thing. And I don't think that was bad. I'm so much happier for it. And in retrospect, it was the best thing I could have done.
What took you from Emerson that led you back to New York, where you became the youngest concierge in all of New York City? Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes. Little known fact to anyone who's listening, if you want to find a great way to eat all of the food for free, be a concierge, do it for a summer. You know, if you want to go, I mean, everywhere without having to drop a dollar, that's the job. But, you know, as glamorous as that sounds, while I was in school, and this is like the sad part of the story, my father was in a car accident with my mom, and then he went on to have about three strokes in a row over a 3-month period. And then they were both disabled from work, which was obviously very stressful. I come from a big family, middle child out of 5 girls. Wow. And I was out in Boston, and you know, things were tough financially when both parents can't work. And as we all know, New York is super expensive. It's not, you know, you can burn through savings in the blink of an eye.
Totally.
So I was put in a spot where it's like, well, I could try to continue doing what I'm doing here at school, or I can go back home and take care of my family. And it was never really a question in my mind what the right thing to do was. Actually, I found that the social pressure at school and the expectation that if you leave this traditional path and go home and take care of your family, you'll just fall into the stereotype and waste all your potential. And really, I was advised heavily not to do what I did, which was leave school and work as a concierge and a bunch of other odd jobs to take care of my folks. But I don't regret that at all. I think it made me really industrious and made me very resourceful and, you know, built a lot of character, of course, because I was 19 at the time. Wow. And I don't regret that. It was, you know, I think it's one of the things that definitely shaped me the most. And I learned a lot more during that experience than I think I would have had I completed my degree. No shame, you know, no shade over at Emerson. It's a great school, highly recommended, but it wasn't for me, given the circumstances that I was in. But I'm grateful for it, and my parents are fine now. They're super great and healthy, and that was an interesting time. But I did eat a lot of good food, and you know, managed money like a boss.
Is that when you found yourself on an episode of Law and Order? Was that during that time?
Oh yeah, that also happened. So while I was working in technical theater, and I think any technical person that says they've never wanted to be on the stage may not be as honest as they should. I was always interested in the performance end of it as well, and was signed by an agent in New York when I was 14, and had done a few radio things and a few commercials, and I got a job on Law & Order where I was a very belligerent, disrespectful, sassy lady girlfriend to some guy who was caught up in some trouble. So that was funny because I'm the last person to mouth off to a police officer. But that was the role. I was like, okay, we can do this. Why not?
That is so fantastic. I feel like Law and Order is such a rite of passage as a New York actor, you know? Like,
It really is. They said that too. They're like, now you're real. You're official.
It's not getting your SAG card or getting your first equity contract. It's getting your episode of Law and Order. Yes. That's what makes you legit.
Yeah. Oh, it really is. You better have that credit.
Totally.
Have any chops.
Well, I think I can't imagine you being 19 as a concierge. I mean, my idea of a concierge is that you're just getting like every crazy request at like all hours of the day. Is that true?
And that you need to know like everybody and pull strings to make things happen. How do you do that at 19?
Yeah.
It's so funny that you honed in on that. Concierge work is relationship management. You need to deal and deal, be buddies with everybody at every difficult restaurant to get a reservation at. And a lot of it was, you know, putting the footwork in, going to these places after work, studying, reading every review, making sure you have the most recent version of the Zagat, and just really being on top of it. I actually have a binder that's about 200 pages deep, sorted by cuisine, price point, and location that I built over my time there. Wow. It's really something you have to seek to master. And I really developed my, you know, interpersonal skills. I've always been a people person, but that was just, you know, really managing all kinds of emotions, newlywed, someone who's really angry, someone who's desperate to get into this restaurant. And on the restaurant side, you know, they just want those butts in seats. So it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. But doing it at 19 was funny because no one really knew that. So I'd go to these places, and they'd you know, be very generous with the food and drink. And, you know, I wasn't going to rat on myself, so I won't name names. But that was a fun time to be 19, and everyone assume you must be, like, 26 to be a concierge. So it worked out. It worked out for me.
That's incredible. It must seem now that, like, there's no request that is, like, too hard, because when you're 19, you're figuring out how to live in New York, you know, I mean, what a crash course. That's incredible.
Exactly. And that's another thing too, in terms of resourcefulness. It's like, okay, someone wants 10,000, exactly 10,000 rose petals. That number. That was a request.
Yes.
Okay. The tomorrow. So they want that tomorrow. So it's like, okay, we're going to call every florist. We're going to try to make this happen and see if they'll count it out. And if not, you'll count it out, which I did. So there's lots of funny, crazy harebrained requests as well that you just got to make happen and, you know, make the customer happy. That's the job. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I've got that binder. So if you ever need a dinner recommendation,
Oh, we're calling you.
Oh, absolutely.
I
also just,
I got you covered.
Side point, I'm really happy to hear you say Zagat, because I learned on an episode of Will and Grace that Zagat rhymes with the cat. That's how I remember it.
Yes.
Zagat.
Anyway. So I'm sensing a theme of like scrappy resourcefulness in like at the crux of what you have learned how to do between technical theater, which is like make everything happen on $12 tomorrow.
Yes, and it better work.
And it better work. And, you know, being a startup founder, I mean, these all have a lot of themes in common. So you decided to go back to school. And you focused on audio engineering rather than going back to finish technical theater. What led you to audio engineering when lighting was your focus before?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is the other side of Janet's multifaceted interest. I really love to sing. I've always loved music. It's something that I do mostly for myself, but then entertained. Maybe what I want to do is be a jazz musician. A lot of that had to do with my education over at LaGuardia and being in the presence of some amazing musicians. So I was like, you know what? I've got some blues in me. I've got some things to say. So I kind of went there thinking, well, I don't want to just go the traditional route, take a bunch of voice lessons, and then, you know, not understand the mechanics behind it. So I decided to go to school for audio engineering with the thinking, well, I could do audio while I kind of work on my music, / I've always wanted to know how to do this. So I went to school for that and then found myself really interested in the technical side. Naturally, I think there's a theme here. I like the creative end and the performance end, but definitely am more focused on the how. And I really got very deeply involved in that. And it was a lot of fun. And I still sing for fun. In my house, mostly, to the St. Bernard. But I just wanted to learn it. And that's kind of the attitude I have about most things. If it's interesting to you, it doesn't need to make sense to anybody else while you're learning it. Just learn it. You don't know when you'll use it. And then it came in handy when I was in St. Martin. So, you know, it all worked out.
Well, and we should mention that you studied audio engineering at the American University of the Caribbean. Why there? What took you there?
Oh, yeah. So I'll just clarify that because I understand why that seems that way. I actually studied here in New York over at SAE.
Oh.
And I went down to St. Martin and set up an interactive system with their medical mannequins. And just some context around that, they had, I think it was 13 different SimMan, that's the brand name, medical mannequins. These mannequins have like heartbeats, lung sounds, they can cry, like perform all kinds of crazy, you know, human processes. But they were really underutilized because you walk in there and you're just looking at a monitor and, you know, there's not much that medical students can do besides that. So I pitched the idea of setting up an interface between the mannequin and having actors offsite talking through the mannequin and controlling all of the different medical processes to kind of simulate emergency room scenarios and allow the medical students to like interact with a patient. So it was actually very theatrical, but really good for the medical students to try that and really see how they work on their feet and see the, you know, the immediate feedback and results from interfacing with a patient that's having an acute experience. So that was something that I pitched to the university and said, hey, you know, my audio engineering background will be really handy here. I can set it up for you guys. I can buy the equipment. I can train all of the actors that will be controlling the mannequin offsite. And it was just a really fun project. I just wanted to do it. And they still use that program over at AUC. So it was really satisfying to build something and see it affect people and really improve their educational experience. But that's kind of how that audio connection is there.
Okay, wait, hold up. How did you know that a medical school had mannequins underutilized that you could then work with and even pitch this project?
Aha, because this is the question. So while I was studying, you got me. So while I was studying audio engineering, I met a lovely man named Victor, and he was off to medical school, and he said, hey, come with me. And I said, I don't go anywhere if I can't work. So, you know, it was very entertaining to think like, oh, maybe I'll move down there and just camp out on a beach and drink a lot of mimosas or whatever you drink on a beach, daiquiris, I guess. But I was trying to find a way to work and use my skills. So that's kind of how that happened. I got really involved at the university and said, I'm going to find a job here. and then I found a job there. And I also taught a painting class on the island since there was no place for anybody to do anything creative. And it was just a great way to make some money and also use my skills. And it was really nice to be able to interface with the medical community as well. And they still use that program. And the medical mannequins are used like 300 times more than they were in the past. And they're expensive. So at least they're getting their money's worth. So that's how that happened. I followed my heart and followed my man and lived on an island for 14 months and worked at the school.
To hear our full conversation with Janet, listen to episode 37, The Scrappy and Resourceful CEO.
If you enjoyed this highlights episode as much as we did, give us a shout out on Twitter or send us an email. And if there are other themes that you want us to pull a highlights episode around, let us know. We aim to please.
That's right. And if you are a fellow theater major, shout us out too so we can give you a virtual high five. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.